Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is not a sermon I've been looking forward to because it's a sermon about snakes and people and God. But now, if you happen to own a pet snake, don't. This isn't. My cousins used to have a pet snake in New Mexico. I've never liked snakes. To me, one of the benefits of living in Buffalo is there's way fewer snakes than there are in the South. And half the year, they're dormant. So you know, there's a snake called the inland taipan, it's called, and it's a... It's supposedly, they say, it's the most venomous snake in the world. One bite of it, from it, not of it, one bite from it, the venom can kill 100 people. That's how poisonous it is. But the protein in this snake has been, the protein in this venom has been found. They can use it to stop surgical bleeding. There's another snake that's called the Malayan pit viper. And they say the venom from this snake they can use to help stroke victims. And cobra venom, they're using it to try to find a cure for Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's. Did you know that? The venom of sin, however, has no benefit for mankind. It only kills. Well, serpents have caused a lot of problems for mankind. It was so in the beginning, it is now, but it will not be so forever. World without end. For a promise has been given to us in Christ, way back in Genesis 3. For mankind, the Christ shall bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent shall bruise the Christ's heel, the offspring of the woman. And the fiery serpents around Mount Hor that Sufei was reading about earlier, well, they struck the Israelites' heels, they bit them, and with the venom in their mouths, they brought death. Just as the serpent had spoken the death-causing lie to Eve. But in the Garden of Eden and in the wilderness of Edom, there was no one to crush the head of the serpent. You heard earlier that the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. This event around Mount Hor, outside of Edom, was divine punishment for the unbelief of God's people. Though the Lord had brought the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, He provided for their welfare on their journey, people became impatient. Impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Guess they didn't like the visioning plan. When do we get to the promised land? We've been wandering for 40 years, Moses. Why aren't we there now? By the way, there's no food here. There's no water. And the food that we do have, we're tired of it. We're tired of the journey. We just want to get there. We want to get there now. We don't trust that we're ever going to get there. We don't trust God's promises for us. You promised, why aren't we there yet? They rejected the provision that God gave them. They rejected the promise that God gave them. For such people, there's nothing but death. God, the source of life, has been rejected. And instead, we substitute our own human will for divine will. So, a righteous God sends snakes, fiery serpents, to call the people to repentance. And you have me instead. Well, when the Israelites realized this, they recognized their guilt, and as Sue read earlier, they said this. They said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you, Moses. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed. The Israelites' despair had turned them back, turned them to repentance. They prayed to God, or they asked Moses to pray for them, to the one who had been their provider and their deliverer all along. It wasn't the Lord's will to kill all the Israelites in the wilderness. He'd made a promise to them. He made a covenant with them. And even though they were unfaithful, he was going to see it through. Well, how? Well, he provided a remedy for them, for what afflicted them. You notice he does not provide something to crush the heads of the serpents from the Israelites. He doesn't drive the serpents away, which is what they asked for. He gives them a remedy that removes the effect of the snake's venom. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, he shall live." Life is given in the midst of death, human death. And not precisely in the way the people asked, at least not at this time. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Today, maybe you saw it earlier in the opening slide, serpent on a pole. It's a symbol of, it's a medical symbol, symbol of medicine. Way back from Numbers 21. And it points to Christ. A solution is given for the problem the Israelites faced. Believing in the Lord's promises, look on a serpent and live. They looked at the serpent on the bronze serpent on the pole, and they lived. Look and live. Once again, the Israelites were restored. They heard what God said. They saw what he did. They listened to what his promises were. And now they stopped grumbling and complaining. They stopped speaking out against Moses and the Lord. Instead, they believed and trusted in God. And as they believed, as they looked to the sign of their salvation, they were given life again. But what of those who continue to be bitten by serpents and not of the earthly kind? What about those who suffer the poisonous effects of sin and evil, the venom of Satan's lies, and our own depravity? To whom do we turn? To whom do we look for our salvation? You and I suffer like the Israelites in the wilderness. We are struck by sin and death and the devil. And sometimes our afflictions are the direct result of what I do. I can tie this consequence to this specific sin. Sometimes you can do that. Touch a hot stove, you get burned. Sometimes the consequences of sin are a little bit more indirect. Sometimes it's the consequence of somebody else's sin that you suffer. like a school shooting. And sometimes, we suffer the consequence of the original sin. Sometimes it seems like there's this random snake bite that comes and hits me and bites me. And sometimes it seems like all I'm doing is getting bitten by snakes. It seems like my life is snake bitten. A woman gets out of her car and tells her 10-year-old daughter to get behind the wheel and I'll push it while you steer it. And she ends up dead. She didn't want that to happen. She sure didn't want her 10-year-old daughter to have to live the rest of her life knowing that's how her mom died. Can you tie that to a specific sin? I don't see it. In John chapter 8, these people come up to Jesus and say, well, this man born blind, was it his sin or was it his parents' sin that caused him to be born blind? Jesus says, you're missing the whole point. You can't tie every specific sin to a particular snake. But that you may see the glory of the Son of God. Where is this glory? Where is this glory in the midst of tragedy in personal life? Where is this in the midst of the consequences of my sin, which I'm suffering today, and maybe one I can draw a straight line to? Did the Lord take away the snake? That's what they asked for. Take away the snakes. That's our answer. Get me out of here. Take away the snakes in our lives. Take away the affliction in my life. That's what we want. That's what they prayed for. God answered their prayer, but not the way they thought. First, he took away the venom, the effect of the venom in their lives. He took it away by giving them something to hope in, something to believe in, something to look toward. It was a bronze snake on a pole. It was a bronze snake that pointed to their Savior. And when Jesus comes, he says, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's Jesus. That whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Those Israelites in the desert, they may have lived, or they did live. Once they looked at the bronze serpent, they were restored to life, a life in the wilderness, a life with snakes. A life, you still got the snake bite. It hurts. And guess what? They died again. Because that wasn't the end of the answer. The answer came in the person of Jesus, who was hung on a pole, on a cross, for you and me. Who came to absorb all the poison in our lives. Who comes to give you his blood shed on that cross. For your blood, which is poisoned by sin. He pours out his pure and undefiled blood. That's what he gives you. And he delivers it to you like an antivenin is injected into you in your holy baptism, in the Holy Supper, in holy absolution, in his holy word, to make your blood holy once again, to give you eternal life beyond life in the wilderness. That's what he promised the Israelites too. First they had a bronze snake to look at, which was pointing to Christ. And then Christ had to come and suffer and die and take all that poison in our lives. And when he comes again, I won't say there will be life without snakes. But there will be life without poison. Life without sin and the devil. And life without death. That's what God gives you through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why Christ came to be lifted up on the cross for you. For you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. There's ample reason for the Lord God to condemn the world. There's ample reason for the Lord God to condemn each and every one of us. But instead, He sends His Son to give us life. Why and how? Simply by believing in Him. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. Not the way we would plan it. Not the instant out that we want. Not the fact that we don't like His law and we don't want to listen to His gospel because we don't think we need it. We do. The snake bite of sin is overcome through our Lord Jesus Christ. So look to the cross and believe that Christ came for you. Son of God, to give you eternal life. In Him we live. Rejoice in that. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.